Welcome. Welcome everyone to the BBOL show featuring NJ Chat with Nikita and Jewel. We do a couple of segments on this show, and this one is Blurred Words. We do this every Saturday at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm Nikita.
And I'm Jewel.
Welcome. Welcome everyone to our podcast. We hope you enjoy it. Today we'll be continuing 107 Days with Kamala Harris, starting at day 42. Jewel. As I was, and good to see you, good to see you, good to see everyone in the room. As I was checking out, so much is happening. As I was checking out day 42, I was kind of drawn into the segment where she talks about Matt Barnes and she gives his family dynamic and history. And I thought that was really interesting and very much where you can kind of see where she's able to talk to anyone in any room at any time. And I think that's like the part of her magic, right? And she talks about in day 42, George Floyd. And she talks about Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson, two NBA basketball players, and talks about how they are involved in this political environment. What did you think of this particular section? I will say this. I was kind of shocked that she knew something about sports ball. Myself, personally, not a big fan of sports ball, only for women's basketball, obviously. So I was impressed. I'm like, she's well-rounded. She likes the sports ball, right? So what did you think, Jewel?
Well, I think as a politician, you need to be involved in almost everything and know practically everything. And then she comes from the Golden State, so I think particular states, now don't quote me on this, and send all your letters to me if you have a gripe about what I'm about to say, but I think certain states have certain affiliations and certain cities, you know, like Chicago's big on their basketball, you know, Texas big on football, and California big on NBA basketball too. So it kind of made sense to me, but I think you're right. I think the dynamic of, and hello, how rude of me, good morning, good afternoon, and good night, everyone, Nikita. I think what struck me was, yeah, they're retired, they're famous NBA players, but the similarities they have. And I think you're right. When Matt talks about, Mr. Barnes talks about his dynamic and his ethnicity. He said he's always been proud of who he is. He has an Italian mom, a black dad. But in high school, in school, when someone was bullying his sister and he stood up for her, it was very quickly where he realized the world was only going to see him as a black man. And the KKK vandalized his school in response. And then you have Mr. Steven Jackson, who everyone knows him as Stack. He was very close to George Floyd's family, given where he grew up and where he started, right? In Texas, in Port Arthur. And I think when we talk about these dynamics, here she is also trying to work through a world that isn't only going to see her as a black woman, and then counter it because, as the gentleman said, he's proud of his Italian mom. She's proud of her Indian mom, but the world's going to see you the way the world's going to see you, right? And so it was interesting knowing that she had similarities with these NBA giants, as she put them, but also the trauma that we experience as black folks consistently on the regular, and then being able to bind together in unity, understanding what the struggle is. And I think it brought a little more humanity, not just, hey, I'm a politician and I'm from California. These three giants in their own field were able to bond over something as horrendous, obviously, as racism, but also as beautiful as being able to overcome what has been subjected to them and talk about it, and made her a bit more real, I would think, to other folks. You know what I mean? Nikita.
Yes, definitely relatable. That's the word that kept running up in my mind. Very relatable. Because we know that race is a social construct. It is based on how society sees you as you walk into the world. And I think that's hard for some people to understand that dynamic. And I love that, you know, she's very clear about who she is. He's very clear about who he is, and how he got his wake up call. It was kind of shocking because he's a young cat. He's younger than I am. And the fact that he saw the KKK in his school, that was like, wow, even if for a young man that young, and where he realized this is how the world is going to see me. And my mom is right. Because sometimes we look at our parents and we're like, oh, they overreact. They don't really know what's going on. Then something happens that makes you go, oh, wow, this is real. This is real. And so this is very relatable. And this is also why I push back on people saying that she didn't stand in who she was. She doesn't have to stand in what could be seen. But yet, and still, we did have the conspiracies out there and the negative voice talk out there. I think for me, and I think about this a lot, what we see on social media, what we see in the news, is not what is really experienced in real life. There are so many mixed cultured homes, and they're just out here existing in the world. And this dynamic that's being put out in the media, whether it be the news or the socials, anywhere on the interwebs, it's trying to convince you that the life that you lived is not true. It's trying to convince you that your reality is not real. That we don't just walk around out here in this world where people can see us and understand who we are. I mean, just look at us, may not know us, but that's how they see us. And it is naive not to understand that. There's always going to be a label. They label foods, they label people. And I love how this chapter kind of breaks it down, right? So chapter 42, read it. They talk about George Floyd. These two ball players really keep it 100. She keeps it 100. And it doesn't run away from who they are as people in society. And I love that. 41 days to the election is about Mark Cuban. Now, Mark Cuban's a really, really intelligent dude. He does the Shark Tank. Right now, he's running this pharmacy thing. She talks about him. She talks about his credibility. I liked how he stood with her in the dynamic. I'm watching him right now, how he's moving in the world of politics. I think it is important if you have a lot of money and you really want to help, don't hinder. You know, become a part of and have an answer to the imbalance. Because we're just regular people out here living, paying high bills, worried about our health care, worried about our family members, worried about our day to day. And Mark Cuban standing with her was really good. But you know what? It reminds me of Ross Perot back in the day, too. I always think there's always something, right? Because right now he's on the socials talking about whether it be Blue Sky or the X Twitter thing or wherever he's at, he's talking about how to get prices down. And that's great. And that's wonderful. But is it helping anyone that's not on the socials and doesn't know who Mark Cuban is except for Shark Tank? You know, so this was an interesting chapter. What did you think about this chapter? I like how she brought up about Africa and Central America and things that were going on there. I like how she kind of weaved through how I guess, you know, this man... this man who is out here, and that being the person she's running against, BT Dubs, saying all kind of ridiculous things. And people are listening to that foolishness and they're criticizing her discipline, the hypocrisy of it. When women are disciplined, it's like, oh, I don't understand how you're always this and you're on time. Discipline is an art. I will say I myself am a very disciplined person. It is something that you practice over and over and over again. And she understands you have to tell. They're like, why are you repeating this? Why are you repeating? You have to repeat things sometimes 3, 4, 5 times before people hear it. And every single place she has to say it over and over again so that the same message gets pushed out there so that you don't get the news bite, the sound bite in the news that she said this here and she said this in another state. And that's what they do. So she had to be consistent. And then on the other side, we have the guy. And she was on Charlamagne's show, by the way. So I just, I dislike that guy. So I kind of, you know, I'll let Jewel handle that one. But he's out here just saying all kind of wackadoo stuff, and people are believing it. I think the whole conspiracy theory thing is bizarre, and I think it is more bizarre how the media presents it to make you believe it, the lie, make the lie real, when we know better. People who weren't on social media didn't know anything about any of this stuff. People who are on social media, over 300 million, I think, or whatever, those people are spreading the nonsense, the lie. And that's why the Fourth Estate is so important. And that's why if you have a mic with 12 million, 14 million people, you have a responsibility to be truthful. This kind of outlines how a lot of nonsense started. Jewel?
Okay, so that kind of encapsulates what we're going to be talking about for the entire duration of the podcast. These next chapters, and if you haven't read it, please go out and get you a copy of 107 Days written by Vice President Kamala Harris, because it is a sight to behold. We're here living, as Nikita has already said, we're living day to day. And today, in this day of our Lord, January 10th, 2026, 2026, just to be clear, we still have people trying to tell you, you should not believe what your eyes see. You should not believe what your body's feeling. You should not believe the sensations and the emotions that you're feeling in the moment. And it's just a swill of refuse and putrescence on social media. And it wasn't any different back then. Okay. So I think it's interesting because every single chapter we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about the conspiracy. We're going to talk about the lies. We're going to talk about don't believe the what your eyes are seeing. And I want to bring in a bit of compare and contrast, if I may, if you don't mind. On page 187 of the hard copy, 41 days to the election, September 25th, actually, she's trying to discuss for us, the audience members, the people that are going to hire her and hopefully vote her into office. I needed voters to know, she says in this quote, the specifics of how I intended to put more money in their pockets today, and to improve their prospects in the future. I started by acknowledging the cost of living was still way too high. You know it. I know it. Well, let me ask you a question before I break in with the rest of the quote. How are you living today? What are the prices like today? What are you feeling today? Is it still too high? Why? When he said he was going to fix it on day one. What day are we in right now? How you feeling? Did it make it better for you? She says, my proposal was for a new tax credit for investment and job creation in key industries. Let me ask you a question as I break in. How many of you are looking for jobs right now? How many of you lost your job? What was the number of Black women that lost their jobs, Nikita? 300,000?
Over 300,000. I think it's like 500,000 now month.
It fluctuates. It gets higher and higher. So my question is, for those of you that stood out, did not vote, for those of you that thought third party to teach her a lesson, she ain't learning no lessons from you not having a job. The lesson she was hoping you would learn is that there was prospective benefits in ensuring that her leading the country, you would have a better future. Ensure it for yourself, for your children, for your nieces, your nephews, your parents, your grandparents, the people you love, your neighbors, right? She said, job creation in key industries like steel. How you steel workers doing right now? Biotech, biotechnology, AI, semiconductors, aerospace, autos, mechanics right now. Farming. We know how important farmers are for us. How are we doing in the fields, y'all? How you doing with your loans, the maintenance and the upkeep for your farms? This was something she was going to do now and continue what the Biden-Harris administration had already done. So we turn the page and I'm not quoting the whole thing, but I have notes here because Nikita's actually right. the conspiracies that continued, it was as if she just could not break through. She says here, my talk was of things I knew I could actually do as a president and things that I knew would work. I warned that the tariffs would raise costs and risk recession. I was confident about my analysis because I had a powerful team of economic advisors with different expertise. But as much as I hammered, she says on page 188 of the hard copy, 107 Days by Kamala Harris, as much as I hammered my economic message, it didn't seem to be penetrating fast enough. Over the course of the campaign, my polling on the economy went from 15 to 20 points in the battleground states, amplified by leaders, but not enough to overcome the things on social media. And then in comes Charlemagne. Y'all accept trash talk from the craziest of people. You expect somebody with absolutely no credentials other than having a mic being able to tell you what you see with your own eyes is a lie. And when ever have you ever walked in on an interview? Because that's what campaigning is, people. We are here to hire them to do the job of leading the country, the job of leading the nation, the job of ensuring that we don't fall into dismay, fall into the inevitable thing that we're in now, to not be able to have a job, to not have health care, to not be able to take care of our kids, to not have food on the shelves in the grocery store, to not have farmers being able to upkeep their farms, to not have to privatize everything and wonder if we have to look through the sofa cushions for the pennies that no longer exist because they done got away and got rid of the pennies. Okay? I'm asking you when you would go to an interview and not be prepared. He had the audacity to say, you come off very scripted. You stick to your talking points. Wouldn't you, if you wanted to convey to your future employer, knock on wood, I would hope, I'm a good, effective lawyer. I'm a good, effective speaker. I really know how to balance a budget. I know how to do this. And then you would say it over and over and over again. With your bona fides, with your resume, with your list of things and your receipts, isn't that something you would want to do every single interview, every time? She was looking for us to hire her to do the job, and we needed to hear it clearly. And according to her, and here we are in the future, it didn't penetrate, and y'all wasn't listening. So it didn't even matter how many times she said it, scripted, because she had the receipts and she wasn't lying. She showed us. She shows exactly what was going to happen and told us what she was willing to do to avoid this. And you weren't hearing it because, what, you heard it yesterday? You weren't sure? I don't know. For me, all my notes, and it's interesting because it was the exact same words you use. Hypocrisy of listening to this man. The man in the administration, not Trump. I have hypocrisy for the loony man. Just kooky dukes. That's exactly what I have in my notes. Can you believe that? And then I have the message was not penetrating fast enough. Frankly, I don't think it penetrated at all. I don't even think it was a matter of time of 107 days. I think to this day, people are still a brick wall with information that should go in, be processed, and come out with a resolution. I think somewhere along the line, it's stuck. I think we're stuck on stupid. Not we, not you and I, Nikita, but some people out there, don't you think? Isn't that evident from what we have, Nikita? It's a lot.
I agree with you. I also, look, this was at the time that he was talking about Hannibal Lecter. As a person who loves horror movies, come on, bruh. Come on now. The guy that's running for the president is talking about Hannibal Lecter like Hannibal Lecter is a real human being. I mean, Jodie Foster probably is hugely amused by that. But it's just, and people were like falling for it. And I was like, what is happening? What is happening? Because, you know, naively, I just thought more people were normal. I'm starting to find out that there is a percentage of society that might be banana cakes. But those banana cakes, people vote. Okay? They vote. And they follow their dear leader. It's not for us to follow the leader. It is us, for us, the voter, right? to understand that the resume that permeates is the one that makes your life better. The job introduction that should resonate is the one that helps your home, your house, your child's future, your future. You know what I'm saying? The people that don't have a voice in this society are the young and the old. And if a politician is talking about all of that, then you know that politician serves you. If a politician is talking about they're eating cats and dogs and Hannibal Lecter, you might not want to vote for that person. But look what we did. Not us. People. People did it because they thought it was funny. Because they thought he didn't destroy the world the first time. He won't be so bad the second time. But that black woman, she scares us with trying to help us. I don't know. I don't know what the weird thing was. But what I do know is we're here now. And I guess we always are going to ask the question, is your life better? Is it? So 40 days to the election. This was a great chapter because right now we're seeing what's happening in Ukraine and the issues that are occurring. Look, the timeline is perfect, laying out what the Madam Vice President had said was going to happen. And it is almost as if she was a, you know, mystic with a crystal ball. But no, this is knowing your opponent and understanding who they are. When you are going into war, or when you're going in to try to, I don't know, you know, get hired somewhere, you have to assess the business that you're going to work for and the opponent that you're going to be fighting, whether you're a boxer or a builder. You have to understand and assess what it's going to take. She understood this gentleman. She understood who he was. What she didn't understand were the people, some of the people. And I think that's the disappointment. And I always will say this, the responsibility lies on the voter. Her job is to present herself and her resume. Our job is to decide whether that resume is applicable to our lives. And there were several candidates out there, but once she was nominated, understanding a two-party system, you don't have other options, even though you may argue that, and understanding what was going on. This in Ukraine is another primary example of what was happening. At the time, in 40 days, September 26th, a storm was headed toward Florida. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky was due for a meeting at my ceremonial office. And as leader of the first White House Office of Gun Violence Prevention, I was scheduled to speak at the signing of an executive order creating a task force to combat ghost guns and improve safety drills in schools. These kids right now, this generation of children, are the only ones to experience fear, consistent fear in gun violence at school. I had the, you know, there's going to be a nuclear war, hide under the desk, knowing darn well that nuclear war wouldn't save me underneath the desk. Right, Jewel? the corniness of all that.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, what? Right. How? Yeah.
Yeah. But these kids are losing their lives. And she was going to go speak about that. The low pressure system that would become Hurricane Helene had begun forming on September 22nd in the Caribbean and rapidly intensified as it moved across the warm waters of the Gulf of Mexico. It would reach Category 4 intensity before the end of the day and slam into the Florida coast before midnight, carving a path of awful destruction through five states. But all I could do that day was to urge people to heed warnings and follow the advice of their local officials. She was doing her job as the MVP, and President Biden was doing his job. This meeting with Zelensky was going to be her seventh, and she'd first met him. She talks about when she'd first met him. Read about that. Read about how important that is. Now, look, so much was going on in those 107 days, and I need you to remember, she's doing double duty here, okay? She's running for the president of the United States. We still have President Joe Biden. She is the vice president of the United States. All these things are happening out in the world right now. And let's be clear, behind the scenes, that guy on the other side was he was interfering with the government. He was leading the House when he wasn't the leader of the House. I'll just say that. He was leading the House when he wasn't the leader of the House. Okay? The House has a speaker and a leader. And when your administration is in, the president of the United States and the vice president, who is the head of the Senate, okay, they are responsible. But this man somehow had infiltrated and it's a lot. It's a lot. But this particular chapter was really good because it gives us an introduction into Zelensky, talks about what happened with the hurricane, talks about the Office of Gun Violence and breaks down, you know, I think you all need to read this to understand what she was trying to do, what she was trying to do, and what consistently the other side tries to stop. Who doesn't want children to not be killed by these guns? Who doesn't want children to be safe? Who doesn't want to do the right thing? She's trying to do the right thing. I, for the life of me, don't understand a lot of this stuff. Maybe you can help me out here, Jewel.
How about I read my notes and maybe we can tackle this together? Because I think I'm also in a loss of understanding the rationale and the mindset of the people that either sat out, because we know more people sat out and thought it wasn't worth it. And then a bunch of people decided to cling to whatever thoughts and weird misinformation, disinformation that they felt they enjoyed better. But my notes for this one was foreign relations, meeting with Zelensky. This would have been the seventh time, as per her notes, 40 days to the election, September 26th. The purpose was to deliver intel, prove or hope he believed Russia would invade. And this was in 2022, the first time she had ever met him. And he asked, well, what would you have me do? Because he didn't believe what she was saying. They had different intel and she needed him to listen and pay attention. And most importantly, believe the United States. And she said, prepare your people. And he did. So on this day, September 26th, seventh meeting, and they had already created a bond of trust, of gathering information, ensuring that democracy prevailed across the planet, the entire. That's what I really don't understand. Why I say I don't know. Because, sure, we're talking about the president of this United States of America, but we were the leader of democracy across the world, the entire planet. And it ain't flat. So let's just globular. It's globe. It's a oval sphere. And we're talking about the leader that would spearhead the defenses to make sure people are as free as you possibly can be. And then hopefully work towards a more perfect form of freedom for all, justice for all, equity for all. This time it was after almost 1,000 days of conflict. So the intel she had given him was correct. The intel was right. We know this. The Ukraine and Russia have been in war for much longer than that now, because this was before the election. And my notes are page 191. Of the hard copy, I say, a true leader doing what she worked her whole life to do, to be a leader that impacted people's lives here and abroad. But what do we have now? Are we better now? Are our allies better now? The neighbors in our geographical regions, are they better? Are they safer? Are we safer? Now, when you read about this, I was so moved by this, because on the last paragraph on page 191, she says, it was the kind of day that reminded me why I was a public servant. What I said and did that day would have an impact on people affected by a natural disaster. Helene had come, was coming in. A war, that's the war, Russia and Ukraine and Europe. An ongoing scourge of gun violence. We were talking about an executive order to ban these ghost 3D printed guns. And it comes on the heel of, once the executive order came in and was signed, the SCOTUS, which is a conservative SCOTUS that y'all couldn't be bothered to stop in 2016 with Hillary Clinton. I'm still bitter as all get out for that too, because you did that then. We didn't even have to be here. Anyway, SCOTUS dropped the ban on bump stocks, making your weapon essentially an assault weapon,
of mass destruction. And that ban was dropped because SCOTUS says, nah, bruh, let them have their guns. Let them do it. And my note said how it feels to make a difference, because the executive order was being signed at that moment, and have a non-elected judge panel knock it all down because people couldn't be bothered to vote. Are we better now? Are we better now? The last line breaks my heart there too, because on page 192 of the same chapter, it says, as Joe signed the executive order, he turned and handed me the pen saying, keep it going, boss. Keep it going, boss. And here we have more death, more gun violence, more indiscriminate ignoring of the dismantling of democracy across the way. And I'm wondering, how much better did you expect your life to get? And are we there yet? Nikita.
Thank you, my friend. Well said, well said. And a great question. Yeah. How much more? How much more? It looks like a lot more. We're looking at the news today, right? So September 27th, 39 days to the election. I want to say this. I want to preface this. And I say this every single time since we started doing this book. I think we'll have like maybe one or two more weekends of this book. Let's be very clear. You must read the book, because what you're hearing is how we see the book and the areas that we find important to put out. But you got to read it. You got to read it. You got to feel it. And you have to break the lie, because it really clears up a lot of stuff that people said. I mean, it tells the truth. And there will be someone that will say, that's her truth. Well, she backs it up with facts. She actually backs it up with facts. And you could actually go online and match it if you're that serious about it, if you truly believe that. But most people don't believe that. Most people take the path of least resistance, and they like the funny, the corny, until it affects them, right? You know, in September 27th, on 39 days to the election, she's talking about, you know, what's happening. She's on the way to the border. This is the immigration section. I'm just going to summarize it like this. We have a man who for 10 years denigrated immigrants and had the American people believing that immigrants were the problem in this country. It is not my job to give you a history lesson on immigrants in America. Okay. The library is for that. Encyclopedia Britannica is for that. Maybe your Mima and your Peepa. Okay. But the fact of the matter is, this country, this stolen land, everyone's an immigrant by definition, except for the indigenous population, by definition. Not a word I made up, not something I'm just saying. You know, in this country, people say things like, give me your warm, you know, they repeat the Ellis Island thing, the Statue of Liberty thing. Beautiful thing, beautiful image of the Statue of Liberty. But you don't practice what you preach, especially Christians, right? You know, we take in those that are poor. You can quote the Bible, you know, and say all of this and not understand that you too are lucky to be here. Because the indigenous population, they had their land stolen, and yet there was wars and, you know, things like that. And yet they chose peace, to live within a peaceful structure with the community. The enslaved people, they chose peace, and still they fight, you know? This immigration thing, by design, is being used to really, really feed the base fears of society. But when you look at each other, I'll use Chicago as a prime example. In Chicago, you have the Irish, you have the Chinatown, you have Polish, you have the Germans, you have the Jamaicans. Each separated out, each proud of the Italians, of their heritage, okay? Italian-American, German-American, Polish-American, each one, that's their heritage, right? Those are all from other countries, by the way, all right? And yet you can look at a Latino or look at a Haitian or a Dominican, and say all these things, and you all believe it. You all believe that the minority commits the majority of crimes. By math, that's not logical. And that is what that other side spent 10 years trying to convince people, that the minority commits the majority of crimes. And so that feeds that fear. You see a brown man or woman walking down the street, what do? You cross to the other side, right? You see a black man or woman walking down the street, what do? Cross to the other side. You hear someone speak a language that you don't recognize, what do? Judge. You know, in America, we speak English. If you've been to any other country, they don't tell you, in Italy, we speak Italian. They welcome you to their country, you know, and they're happy to learn. And let's just be clear, most people in other countries can speak English better than most Americans, because English in and of itself is really not that accurate a language. But we're all judging. You're in America, in a multicultural society. You go and you eat Spanish food. You go and you eat Asian food. You go and you eat African food. You go to these restaurants. I see you in these restaurants. And yet, you're talking about immigrants are bad for this country. Immigrants are the color in this country. They are the culture in this country. They are the dynamic that makes everyone want to visit this country. We are the people. Immigrants are we, Americans. And this particular chapter really brings out how he really fed the beast. Jewel, what did you think of this chapter?
I thought it was an interesting read, given what we are going through right now as the days and the hours go by. I think what I have here is how it starts off. Hurricane Helene is about to wreak havoc across the United States, across multiple states. And she knows that she can't be in the midst of everything, because if she's in the middle, she's in the way, right? Because she's got a security detail. She's got campaign staff. She's got all that stuff. And when you're a leader, you don't want to be there making a mess of things. You want things to get done. You want the quickest. You're triaging. If you're in the hospital, the most severe patients that need the quickest help, because they're on a ticking clock. You want them fixed, helped, and out the door so you can get to the minor stuff. And we're talking about hurricane damage. So her heart, her thoughts are with that and FEMA. And instead she goes to the border with Senator Mark Kelly. And he has a border state. So that makes sense. But she also brings up that the historical bipartisan immigration bill that literally, if it's bipartisan, that means Republicans signed off on it because it was going to be the best. They hired, even with that wavering, even with this administration calling in and saying it was a waste of paper, and to vote against their own bill that they had agreed upon, right? They had increased border agents. They had created tests for fentanyl to stop it from crossing the border. They had upkept the infrastructure to ensure that criminals were being stopped and caught, and those that were looking for day travel, because contrary to a lot of y'all folks don't even know, because you don't live in a border state. I do. I live right at the edge. I'm right there. So, you know, Matamoros is right there. Okay. And people work here, or you didn't even think about this. United States citizens work in Matamoros and then come back to go back home. They go back and forth. It is a border of compromise, of culture, of being able to move back and forth. And look, I'm not Mexican, but I live in Texas and I have for many, 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 many years. And I could tell you that it is a vibrant relationship when we talk about immigrants that come here, work, and make our land better, because of what they contribute and how they contribute. How is very important. But I also have here this quote that I think is very important, because it pings on what Nikita said. And I think that was beautiful. Thank you, Nikita. Those remarks and the sentiment, I felt them with my whole spirit, and accuracy abounds. Page 194, hard copy of 107 Days, written by Vice President Kamala Harris.
She says, there is a bleak and tragic history in this country of demonizing immigrants. The Jewish refugees who were denied entry when fleeing annihilation in Nazi Germany. The Chinese, the Italians, and Irish who were hated, vilified, and slandered in almost the same terms as the right uses about today's migrants. The Japanese who were interned, denied freedom and due process solely on the basis of their race. In that paragraph, we encapsulate everything that Nikita just said, but also we can pull up and hold up a mirror to what we're seeing today about the Haitians, about the Mexicans, about the Colombians, about the people that even the Cubans, he's turned on the Cubans too. Everyone who has come here in one way or another for a better life, a better future, a better existence, to contribute, to be something, to make something of themselves, to have dignity, and that all flowery word that everybody seems to be throwing around on the other side, freedom, freedom, freedom. And yet they're the ones still putting people behind bars and in cages, kidnapping them. He had 4 years, she says, to fix it. And he did nothing but talk badly about these people. And in comparison, I walked the tunnels. I spoke to the border agents. I was in the Senate working on things. And we had a bill to make things better. We had made a difference. We had made a difference. And all he did was talk. And I will say, when we compare it to what we see today, is it better? Do you feel safer with the unbridled murder? Do you feel safer with the kidnapping of people you may think may be an immigrant, who don't look and seem like they're pasty white, blonde hair, unseasoned food creators? Do you feel safer when that's the only people allowed to walk freely in these streets? Gestapo action. Do you feel safer now, knowing that if you stood up and took pictures, stood up for your neighbor, your coworker, the person that runs a 7-Eleven, a gas station, the Circle K, whatever, the convenience store down the street, if you stood up for your friend, your in-laws, maybe even for yourself, that you may not come home tomorrow? Because this is what he wanted. He wanted death. He wanted kidnapping. He wanted murder. And lest you think being a citizen will stop them, I got news for you, because quite a few have been taken, and some of them we haven't even heard from again. Citizens, y'all, citizens. And you couldn't be bothered, not in 2016, to make sure that the SCOTUS stopped it. That's the Supreme Court of the United States. I forgot, I got to spell everything out. And you couldn't be bothered to vote. You couldn't be bothered to vote, really? But now they're knocking on doors. I saw 2 days ago, and I don't know who said it. I don't know if it was a congressperson or a member of the staff or what, but they said, we need y'all to log online. Sign up for ICE. Knock on doors. That's what you're gonna do? Y'all finna knock on your neighbor's doors? You think you're gonna have the heart? You personally gonna have the heart to drag mothers away from children, fathers away from their brothers and their mothers, the only person probably bringing a paycheck, taking care of their family? And when they gone, who's gonna stop them from coming for you? Who's gonna stop them from coming for you? Because I tell you what, they ain't coming for Barbie. They're not coming for Josh. Okay? They're not coming for Susie. They're coming for Jamal. They're coming for Gemma. They're coming for me. And they're coming for you. Because I know who's listening. I know who's listening. I just want to know if you feel better or safe. And I want to know why you didn't find it important enough to vote. I should have had sleep last night, because we're going to get real today. Nikita.
I'm very nervous. No, I'm just kidding. So yeah.
Wow.
No. I'm 100% with everything that she's saying. Things are, we are in interesting times. We're in very troubling times. I think the problem that most of us that are normal have is why? That question has yet to be answered, honestly. You know, that question has yet to be answered truthfully, because as I said last week, a lot of people have a hard time looking in the mirror. You know, say what it is, say what it is. Because here, let's be clear. This administration is making wealthy people incredibly wealthy. Let's be very clear. There are some people that are honest enough to say that. And yet, while people are getting extremely wealthy, their friends and families are being harmed. I guess that's an even trade-off, or they didn't think he was going to be that bad. Or, you know, I'm hearing all of this weird concept about why something occurs. In this 38 day, September 28th, this is what Jewel was talking about, the conspiracy theories. And thank you so much, Jewel, for everything that you're saying, because that's real. That's real. And I felt it in my soul. I felt you felt that, because it's unnerving. It's unnerving. And she is correct. Unfortunately, a Barbie did get killed, but that Barbie was LGBTQIA+, huh? Imagine that.
She was another.
Right. Because we get othered quite a bit. You know, once I saw the images, I realized, I said, okay, I see. This is where we're at. So what are we going to do about it? You know, this was about on 38th day in San Francisco, they had a fundraiser. And they got to hear about the conspiracy theories. Those of us that don't live in a bizarre bubble can't. Sometimes I read stuff on social media and I go, that's not a real person. That cannot be a human being. Okay. Someone said with the username Mike Wallace 888, who had more than 2 million followers, wrote, the elites had engaged in weather modification to target counties that voted for that man in the last election. I thought the idea was too crazy even for the most gullible. But his tweet received more than 11 million views. You know why? Because there are people out there that smoke way too much crack. No, I'm just kidding. You can't. It's the weirdest thing. You all watch the weatherman every day on the TV. You know this is ridiculous. And those that believe that kind of stuff, I just think to myself, are you serious? Are you serious? What does Jewel say? Cookie dukes? I mean, it's banana cakes. For me, it was just funny. And then I realized, oh no, that's serious. That's for real serious. You know, they really believe this. And, you know, I'm talking to my people and thank God they're not on social media, because I make a choice not to tell them half the stuff that I read on social media, because I don't want that imprinted in their brain. But I got a family member that is very much a conspiracy theorist, very much believes a lot of bizarro stuff. Okay. And so I am very careful and cognizant. You know, I don't argue with stupid people. That's not something that I do. It's not my nature. So I'm not calling anyone stupid. I'm just saying I don't argue with stupid people. I'm telling you what I don't do. I don't. But I think for Vice President Harris, she had multiple things happening at once, you know? And she had to deal with multiple things. This particular chapter, she brought that out. And then she said how she couldn't believe it. She had a lot to deal with. 107 days, it's just not enough time to, you know, try to out loud the crazy. Because he had 10 years of running. 10 years of running to really embed into his people, you know. Because it's no longer the Republican Party, by the way. Just so you know, don't ever be confused. This is not your granddaddy's Republican Party, all right, that we have right now, you know. And unfortunately, they're going to wear that tag, whether they believe that stuff or not, because of the majority that's in that party. The far right conspiracy theorists who feed the beast with their boss leading. And let me be very clear, that man doesn't believe half the stuff he says. He just knows he has people who will follow his foolishness. And they probably laugh at them every day down there at the Mar-a-Lago place or wherever they go and hang out. And pushing this nonsense. But is your life better? Because look, the House just passed that ACA funding thing. They had to override the speaker in order for that to happen. You know, that's Democrats, by the way, which is a party, not a people. Okay. I am a person who votes Democrat, but our party passed that in the House. Now let's hope the Senate does what it's supposed to do, because it's for everyone, not just Democrats. They're trying to help everyone. That man up there at the top, he only cares. He is in charge of the whole of the United States, folks. And he only cares about his people. That is not a leader. That is a tyrant. Yeah. I need you all to really understand that. One side wants to help all of the people. That's how you elect a representative. That's how you elect a legislator. That's how you elect the president. For all the people. When you go to a school board meeting, you're electing someone who's going to take care of all the kids. Your kids, my kids, her kids, their kids. That's what you want. Someone that, whether we agree with you or not, you're going to take care of all of us. We all need to eat. We all need to have a home. We all need heat. We all need health care. You want someone that cares about that. Look where we're at now. Is your life better? It didn't have to be like this, Jewel.
No, it most certainly did not have to be this way. You're absolutely right. Day 38, September 28th, misinformation and disinformation in social media. And I'm going to say, don't get tired of hearing that, y'all, because conspiracy, 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 this ain't even the end be all. That we can control the weather, says this individual, Nikita said. I'm gonna switch it to humanity for just a second, because it's been a lot of ugly. And I kind of felt for her in this one, because yeah, she's up against this horrendous monster of a machine. Because the misinformation, disinformation, conspiracy machine, it is a machine. Q, y'all QAnon people, your MAGA people, that's a machine. And if y'all don't believe it, even on that whatever application name y'all want to call it, I call it by his mama daddy's name, Twitter, they exposed where everybody was from. Now, back in the day, back in the gamer days, long time ago, for a lot of people, there used to be games where before microtransactions happened, you would have to farm things. So that means you had to kill a particular mob or an entity or a little monster over and over and over and over again to get that one thing you needed or to get a component for something you were making. And then you had to do it over and over again to collect a certain amount. That was called farming. And it turned out that people realized that if they could farm enough of these materials or items or in-game currency and all this other crap that dropped, you know, drops a legendary sword or amazing armor, or rare potion, whatever. If they farmed certain areas often, they could beat the algorithm in the code and get a certain amount of products and then sell it for real cash money, like real cash money. So you know what they did? In various places around the world, they would rent places, rent little shops, warehouses, and just have people farming that one place, that one. Why am I saying this? Because y'all just found out that all the stuff you're getting on social media, talking about Harris, talking about Democrats, talking about the shills, talking about this, talking about yay, Gaza, all that other crap that y'all don't even believe in, they're coming from bot farmers from India and other places. Go figure. History repeats itself, only this time it's not play money. This time it's not a legendary sword that no one knows about. This time it's your life, your liberty, your pursuit of happiness, and whether or not you're going to survive to see the next decade. And y'all fell for the okie doke. You bought the free stuff that they were selling that wasn't even worth anything. So I'm going to bring in a little humanity, because I was really moved by page 197 on the hard copy of 107 Days by Kamala Harris. She says she was in San Francisco in the previous page for a campaign fundraiser and still trying to get money for
the FEMA recipients, the people that needed for Hurricane Helene relief, right? And he was still talking a bunch of stuff. Well, we're not going to talk about it. And Nikita already brought up what this Matt Wallace 8888 person said. And that night she flew back to Los Angeles and there was an event there. And she was able to, for the first time in a while, go back to her home, her actual house. And I wrote, the toll it takes on your safe spaces, your sacred sanctuary, it feels neglected. When you're trying to work hard to create sanctuary, safe spaces for others, because that's what leaders do. So she keeps the road warrior mentality and treats her safe space, her sanctuary, her home as a hotel, realizing that her home felt neglected. Homes remember these things where you didn't take care of the lights or the plumbing and you didn't upkeep it. And for me, it was a bigger metaphor. We all live here, y'all. We all live here. And y'all treating this place like it's not yours. Like somebody else gonna clean it up. Somebody else gonna fix it. Somebody else gonna make it better. Not that one. You got some imaginary lady or imaginary, some other magical hoodoo person that's gonna fix it, because the one with all the receipts and the ability to show you they could do it better, they weren't worthy of it. They for some reason weren't gonna do the job the way she said she was gonna do it, and I already had all the proof that she had already begun. No, you just neglect it. So you're treating this home, this place, this sacred space, this sanctuary, this beacon of freedom, as if it ain't even yours. Be careful. You get what you wish for. Soon enough, it won't be yours. Nikita.
Clap, clap, clap. Thank you. Thank you, Jewel. 100%. And I agree. And as I was listening to that, I was like, she is so right. She is so right. Thank you. Thank you so much. So now we're at September 29th. If you don't mind, I'm just going to just basically say this is just a schedule and we move on to the next one. Is that okay? You got notes? Go ahead with your notes. Cause all I'm like is okay. The outline here. Yeah. Lady things. Go ahead, Jewel. You got it.
You're right. You're right. I got upkeep, calls, fundraiser, rally in Las Vegas. Work is unending. It never stops. That was poignant that she put it in there, because we keep thinking, oh, what are these missing days? Oh, she just got to, you know, rest her feet up on the ottoman. But nah, there's a list there and it starts and it ends. The lid. Remember, she explained what the lid is. Y'all need to get the book so you know what these definitions are. We ain't going to read everything for you. But a lid is when everything cuts. Journalists stop. Calls stop. Everything stops. We're going to wait until the next day. 21-23, guys. You know how many hours are in a day? Maybe they need your help with military time, Ms. Nikita. I don't know. But she was calling, fundraising, and rally in Las Vegas, and then lid. And plus, you know, keep her nails cute, manicure, hair done, hair did. It's good, you know. But work never ends. That's the notes I got. Never ending.
Yes, that's exactly right. But it was so short. I was like, yeah, you know, I'm whatever. Because we know that she's doing a lot. Thank you so much for breaking that down. Because, like, she's still working at 9:23. But for me, that's, you know, like, man, it's all day long this stuff is going on. 107 days. Pressure cooker against someone who was running for 10 years. And in spite of having President Biden having it was just a lot. 107 days. And I'm going to tell you, around this time, I'll tell you, the shift happened after the Walsh debate. That's when the shift started. I don't think it was because of, you know, Governor Walsh, but on September 30th, 36 days to the election, she had to do a lot of things happen. There was a hurricane, a bad one, and Georgia was hit. You know, and North Carolina was hit. And that man on that other side told a big old fib. And I don't really give my governor too much props, but Governor Kemp told the truth this time. He tells the truth. He just does. I don't want to get another Kemp. Okay. Because we're getting ready to try to get another governor. Thank goodness. Because, you know, I always give Jack the jacket. whenever this man says something terrible about Georgia, Kemp speaks right up. I'm going to give him credit for that. All right. So she's down here dealing with FEMA and saying more than 230 people had died in the worst hurricane since Katrina. But instead of consoling and helping that man on the other side, she says his name, was stoking rage with falsehoods and making it harder for FEMA workers to do their jobs. Some FEMA workers had guns pulled on them. At his rallies, he claimed our administration had spent all of the disaster relief money for housing illegal immigrants. I wish people would use common sense, stuff that's just not real. You live in these communities. You know better. You just know better. No one said anything about that guy from Texas bussing those people up into Chicago. That's a crime, by the way. Okay, that's trafficking. Okay?
Human, you know what trafficking. I'm saying? Yes,
ma'am. Yes. Yes. We let crimes, actual crimes, go and get outraged over the perception. Outraged over the perception. It is ridiculous, man. Because now when the grocery stores don't have fruits and vegetables, you're complaining. Now, when the hotels don't have workers, you're complaining. Now, when certain restaurants don't have workers, the fields don't have workers. But you were complaining because there was too many in your mind. The wealthy with their landscapers, you know I'm telling the truth. You know I'm telling the truth. Well, I didn't think that was going to happen. I didn't think it was going to be my people, even those that voted against themselves. And I really think it's funny when people get upset and say things like, stop saying we're voting against our own self-interest. We voted because it is against your own self-interest. I mean, if you voted for the other side, you did not vote for health, wealth, and survival. You didn't. You did not vote to make life better for your children. You did not vote for your taxes to possibly go down. You did not vote for an opportunity to have housing. You did not vote for peace. You voted against your interest. And there are those that will have you believe that saying that is causing dissension, causing separation. No, it's trying to absolve those people of guilt. I don't want you to feel guilty. I want you to do the right thing. Because it is not for me to make you feel guilty, you know, regrets and things like that. You're supposed to do better when you know better. But I shouldn't have to temper the truth to make you feel better about where we're at right now. Because where we're at right now is causing harm to people I don't know and people I do know. And it's causing immeasurable harm. All right. So she talks about what happened with that and the stoking of the fear, you know, and Mr. Musk amplifying the lies, you know, saying, yes, they're literally using your tax dollars to import voters and disenfranchise you. Marjorie Taylor Greene, who has all of a sudden found Jesus, at the time she didn't have Jesus, you know, she said, yes, they can control the weather. Child, it's a hustle. And you all felt for it. The bot farms, the Russian disinformation farms, all of those. You know, technology is pretty savvy. You could do a lot with technology. You could move the dial with technology. People don't realize that. They think that it is them and their, how they, technology has surpassed, you know, the 80s and 90s of information, because data, people are data, and data is money. Data is dollars. It is also the way that you can, you know, push information. And they have learned to do it with precision. You know, if you ever watched any of these movies, there are some really good movies out there that actually show how these data centers work, right? In Africa, in Russia, in all of these different countries. And it's young people doing the troll farming, you know? And that is because people are not able to see what is real and what is not real. You know, I'm a real person, but because I'm actually talking logically, you choose not to believe me, but you'll look to the left and believe that guy that says something that in the back of your mind you sometimes think, and you know people would think you're silly, but he said it, so it must be real, right? That person talking logical sounds like a teacher maybe, or someone that it's just because she's black. She's black, and she's a cartoon figure too. She's not real. I think people are funny. People cry. But this is not funny. None of this is funny. And I think in this section, and because I live in Georgia, and because I saw that, I was lucky. A lot of my neighbors, You know, down south, we're not as lucky. And I was glad to see her out there trying to do, and President Biden doing what was right. Where's FEMA now, folks? Then we have FEMA. Now, FEMA has never, it's kind of a broken system, but they were doing the best they could. Since the Bush era, by the way, if you want to know, since the Bush era. So they're trying to do the best they can in this terrible situation. There were people in Ashland, North Carolina, and this is around election times, trying to get very, very strategic. Not the storm, but what they did, the other side did during this travesty. And I'm glad that Governor Kemp spoke up and said, no, President Biden called and asked what we needed. Because that's the president's job. That's what the president is supposed to do. You know? Jewel?
That is what the president's supposed to do for the people, all the people, not some of them, and to protect his country. That's or her country. Page 189, day 36, September 30th. I have written in my notes that she did what a leader would do. Remember, she's a vice president. The next in line for the presidency. Whether there was a campaign or not, whether you were going to vote for her or not, she had a job to do. And so what did she do? She canceled her things to actually get it done. She had to do her job, stop the campaigns, stop the interviews. She had like three or four lined up, postponed her schedule and do the things that needed to be done. And it was unique for her. You would think of all the times in the world that a storm of this magnitude that had harmed so many people amongst so many states, this would be uniquely prosperous for her campaign because she had worked on the Senate committee for FEMA and she knew how to get the bank open and flowing for individuals. And for the first time, unprecedented, she ensured that FEMA would give 100% of the money to the government and reimburse them. And yet lies were all that were being spewed on the other side. And people believe them. People believe them. We're talking death and harm that was done to people of these various different states. And I have written here for y'all because, I mean, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to suck my teeth. Chops in on the radio. That's not good. Okay. FEMA workers are now in danger. Lies on social media to sow chaos and embolden violence. Even Marjorie Taylor Greene, quote, yes, they control the weather, end quote. Before you think she isn't one of the monsters that got us here. Because y'all are quick to give that humunculus looking white lady grace. I don't. Like I said, I didn't get a lot of sleep last night, so forgive me. I don't need forgiveness. I really feel that way about this lady. And she is not good. She's not good. Because opportunists sow chaos and want confusion. In a time of desperation, in a time of need, here we have an individual who was in the Senate who helped with the committee to ensure that FEMA did the right thing and was working towards ensuring that people in need would get it quickly. On the other side, you have people lying about the workers. Can you imagine? You ain't got no water. You ain't got no toilet paper. You don't have no hygiene products. You don't have food. You need diapers for your baby. You need formula for your baby. You need to find a place that would get those items to you because grocery stores are shut. There's no electricity. Yeah, if you've never been in a hurricane and never seen the aftermath of a hurricane, y'all don't know what you're even thinking about, the things that you believed in. Because I could tell you, living in a state of hurricanes, are coming from the islands, it is like someone took weapons of mass destruction and destroyed everything that's in its wake, only to wake up and see that there's nothing left. No crackers, no water, no diapers, no formula. People are dead. It's madness. It's madness. And this man says the most outrageous things, and y'all believe it. Y'all believe it. So now you're going to pull guns on the only people here to help you get diapers, water?
housing, clothing, food, insulin for your diabetes? Are you kidding me? Because some crazy wackadoo said on the internet that they controlled the weather and don't want to give you assistance. And the people there to hand you the product, the government black old cheeses in your hand, you're going to pull a gun on them. We have lost our way. We have lost our way. And Nikita, you're right. FEMA wasn't great. I could be a testament of that. FEMA was not great. But when you have absolutely nothing to help you in your time of need, to have people harm the people there to help you when you have nothing, that's a sin. Whether you believe in religion or not, that's a crime against humanity. And yet you voted for that. You gave in to that. I just wonder where your humanity has been, people. Did you lose it so far down the hole that there's no coming back? I don't know, Nikita.
Thank you, Jewel. And, you know, you're right. Myself also, you know, being on ships in the middle of a hurricane or being on land in the middle of a hurricane, this is a scary, scary thing. Scary, scary thing. The water is scary, folks. You know, it's a monster. It's unforgiving sometimes. So, yes, yes, it's. We have to do better. So thank you, Jewel, for that. And let's go on into October the 1st, 35 days to the election. I think when we look at this and we're reading this book and we're realizing 107 days, the things that happen, I love that she's putting this in here. I want people to be very clear. I heard something the other day, which kind of had me, and it came from someone who is supposed to be like respectable, whatever, congressperson or whatever, you know. I'm not going to say someone in politics. I like to put it like that. Someone in politics, right? You know, she wrote this book, you know, and she just wants to run for president. Just get it, whatever. She wrote this book because she wanted to tell her story before you all told her story. She wanted to tell her truth because people have a way of lying about who you are and not allowing you to speak for yourself. For representing you in a way that is contrary to who you are. She's telling her truth. And she has the right to do that. Okay? Because so far we're free. And she has the right to tell the truth. And she opened the curtain. She's not narking anyone out. She's not disrespecting people. If your feelings are hurt by anything that she wrote, you need to toughen up. You shouldn't be in politics. Okay? Because you got to be able to handle the truth. And you have to be able to reflect on that truth. Now, in 35 days to the election, this is Tim Walz's debate. I watched that debate. I'm going to summarize this. I watched that debate. Everybody is not a debater. This man knows who he is. He said, I am not a debater. You know, when you are running, you know, he's a governor. It's not about the debate. It's about what you're doing and the job you're doing. That's how I roll. Some people like to hear you speak pretty and stuff like that. I want to know what you're going to do and how you're going to get it done. So I respect that. Not everybody was a good debater. What I thought was interesting, though, was that his debate, it was he got gobsmacked by Vance. Vance was playing in his face, man. And I thought that was highly interesting. He allowed Vance to do a hillbilly elegy on him. Okay. And he says, you know, that she's watching the debate and she's saying that, oh my God, he's giving it into Vance. And it turns out he kind of did let Vance set him up. He didn't do the gross thing that he normally does. He played into the, I'm just a guy in Ohio who cares about his people, blah, 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 blah. And Vance was like, yeah, right, buddy, right? You know, and then bam. You did a terrible thing in the military. Bam. What happened with lying about that? They asked, they set him up on the question. And instead of him answering it appropriately, because he got the dates wrong. That happens with all human beings. He actually was right about his military service. I just think it's all, you got to prepare yourself for these questions. And he said Pete Buttigieg is the one that helped him. I don't know. I know that the VP came out there and struck gold. Bam, 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 bam. Now, Pete Buttigieg is supposed to be consummate speaker, this, that, and the other. I'm not saying nothing. I'm just saying Waltz didn't do as well as they said. It didn't hurt the election, not in my opinion. There is a different thing, and we'll discuss that next week, that turned the tide, in my opinion, to the election. And remember this, at the beginning, they were saying people were weird, people were weird, people were weird. If I think that if they had kept on saying that and we're not going back, but things changed because David Plouffe would start speaking and talking later on in the chapters. And then this is where I noticed the shift, and I noticed it on social media too. But this chapter is about the 35 days to the election. Jewel, I think this is where you say what you're going to say and we'll wrap it up. Jewel?
Yeah, look, what did Maya Angelou say? Believe, when people tell you who they are, believe them the first time. And we read earlier in the chapters that Governor Walz said, I'm not a good debater. and then we see him go in once more into the fray. And you're like, fiddlesticks. I would have said something different, but fiddlesticks. We're page 201, 35 days, October 1st. And it's not just the debate. Iran has retaliated. And they were concerned about it. And once again, we realize this woman's not just campaigning. This woman is the vice president of the United States of America. And she's in the Situation Room. And she's monitoring everything. And because of diplomacy and how that particular administration, Biden-Harris administration, works things, discuss and maneuvers, we are placed into a place diplomatically in the Middle East where it is narrowly avoided a full-blown war. Remember that we're in a place where in history, where Netanyahu's best friend is running against her, where he wants to control everything in that area. And all of this is happening just before the person she picks for VP has to debate someone. And I will say what was interesting was for her, Trump is a con man, a Jekyll and Hyde, she uses the metaphor. Here, we know she says J.D. Vance is a shapeshifter. And I note Jekyll and Hyde for her, shapeshifter for Walz. And I am amazed. You got and picked a con man duo, people. The duo of evil skinwalkers that shift forms to continue the disarray and the chaos. And you fell for it. You fell for it. As Mr. Walz, all due respect, sir, I don't dislike you. And I really respect the fact that you upheld dignity and loyalty and friendship and above all, professionalism with regard to discussing your time running as the VP's running mate. So all respect to you and your family and to how that played out. But you too fell victim to the con man, the skinwalker, the aw shucks behavior. My favorite part was when J.D. Vance says the rules were, this is a quote, page 202, hardcover, 107 days, Vice President Kamala Harris. The rules were you guys weren't going to fact check, Vance complained petulantly in a flash of his more familiar persona. And this was with regard to Haitians in Springfield, because it came out that he made up the lie. And when they asked him, did you make the lie? He said, sure, if I'm talking about winning, I'd make up the lie again. Of course I made it up. The plan is to win. That was before the debate. Fact checking was brought up during the debate.
And I have, if you looked at my notes, it's very small text, and then it gets bigger, and then it gets bigger, and then there's like a bunch of underlines and like 500 exclamation points. I think I was so angry just going over it again. No fact checking. Why, when picking the leader of your country, would you not fact check? You know, check if it's lies, truth, false, make believe, harmful. Why would any of you in the audience, any of you members trying to see if this leader is good for you, represents you, what you want? Why would fact checking not be something you want? I don't know. Maybe if he's telling me he's going to give me $1 million tomorrow, I might want to check that out and see if it really is going to happen. Am I going to, you know, is the check going to be in the mail? Is it going to bounce? Is it going to hit? Y'all don't even know what checks are anymore. Is there going to, am I getting an overdraft fee? Is there going to be money on the card? Whatever y'all can relate to. You need to be able to check that, right? You want to be able to make sure that it's true, that it's not make-believe, that it's not pretend, that that is real, right? I mean, I would think it's a debate. It's a debate. And the rule was, you can't point out when I'm lying. That's not fair. You can't point out when I'm lying. That's not fair. And what does Governor Walz do? Oh, shucks, you're right. We have a lot in common. We have a lot in common. Meanwhile, Vice President Kamala Harris, I can see her in her living room going, what is happening? It was hilarious because just a few moments ago, Nikita was like, what is happening? What is happening? It's a quote. She says, when Tim fell for it, I started nodding and smiling at J.D. Vance's fake bipartisanship. I moaned to Doug, what is happening? What is happening? I think I wake up every day and that is the theme. What is happening? And I get a call from my best friend and she's like, do you know what's happening? And I'm like, oh, what is happening? What is happening? That's my face when she calls. What is happening? What is happening? Yes, that's my face. That is literally my face. Yes. What is happening? And I don't know when we are going to get to the point where we can just have precedented times instead of unprecedented times. I want to get to a place where I know what's happening. I want to get to a place where I can sleep longer, sleep in maybe, and the next day be like, what happened today? The sun came up. The paycheck landed. People got to eat. People got to go to the doctor. They got to be seen. They were able to afford daily dignity. They were housed. Criminals were caught and they were placed in jail where they belong, because I don't believe in tearing them down neither, because y'all would be the first ones complaining if somebody done harmed you and y'all let them run amok and be free. I'm just saying. But yeah, the debate, I agree with you, Nikita. I don't think it tore down and harmed where they were in terms of stats. And she says it. She says it didn't harm it. And eventually, Mr. Walz, Governor Walz, started feeling bad and they started attacking him because he talked about his service and made a mockery of his service, J.D. Vance did. And then people started talking about his son, who, as we know, is special needs. And Vice President Kamala Harris tried to tell him, imagine the woman telling a man, you can't let them get in your head. You know, they say women are too emotional. I don't know. She seemed like the backbone there. She seemed like the right leader for me, Nikita.
I agree. And we're going to be ending on this chapter. And let me say this. I want to thank Governor Walz for understanding, as she wrote in this book, she wasn't writing to demean him. She was telling a truth and it's a fact. And he is self-aware enough to have said, I could have done better. But I think he is the right person. If she chooses to run again, because that's loyalty, right? I think he is the right person. I think he is a good candidate. I think this was a learning experience. These two, you know, haven't been running for president 1,000 trillion times or vice president 1,000 trillion times. And no one put in that position of 107 days could have done any better. I thought they did both great. debates. This proves to me debates don't, you know. She had an excellent debate. That's all I'm going to say. All right. So we're going to stop here. And next week, what we're going to be getting into is going to be the crazy. Having a Republican, how did that look on the team? What happens, you know, as we move closer to, like, we're at day 35, folks. Day 35. October the 2nd. Okay, this is where we're going to start. But right now, where we're at is October the 1st. All right.
A month.
Yeah, 1 month. Exactly. Thank you. And that's where we're going to cut it off, because it's 30 days, folks. You know what happens in 30 days? Oh, my God. You know, I'm feeling anxious because I remember it. Because I remember it. Scary times. And then I started worrying. I started getting nervous. Apparently they did too, because we talk about the attack ads. We talking about the ramping up. You don't ramp up unless you're afraid. Okay? You don't ramp up the crazy unless you're afraid. Yes.
You don't sue unless you know she's the right woman for the job.
Oh, you're right.
We gonna hit that. How afraid, how scared you gotta be. Girl, we gonna hit that.
It's gonna be good next week. So I want to thank you all for coming. Thank you all for showing up. Thank you all for listening. It is not missed on us that there are people who enjoy listening to our podcast. Maybe not. I don't know if they enjoy it or not. They might be hate listening. Who knows? but I want to thank you all. We do this every day, like we said, every Saturday at 12 p.m. Eastern time, 11 a.m. Central time. So, Jewel, sign off.
We want to thank everyone for listening, whether you were listening for 5 minutes 15 or you listened throughout the duration. We know you can listen to any podcast out there, but you took the time to listen to ours. And for that, we're appreciative. For those of you that have not gotten the book, please, we recommend that you get it, you read it. Nikita said it brilliantly. Thank you, friend. This is what we got from it. These are the excerpts we found were important according to what's happening now and where we're going in the future, particularly the midterms. But if you want more, if you need the details, if you really just want to say, I don't believe it, she got the receipts for you. 107 Days by Vice President Kamala Harris. Pick it up. You can get it a digital copy. You can get an audio book, or you can get the hard copy. Or I'm certain they got paperback already from anywhere and anywhere they sell books. It has been quite a ride, and I'm so grateful and thank you for today, Nikita. It has been brilliant.
Thank you, Jewel. I feel the same exact way. And Vice President Harris will be starting her book tour again. I hope you all get to see her in your state if you haven't seen her. Mm-hmm. I will tell you, she's quite impressive live. So thank you very much. Be safe, folks. Stay strong. You know, joy cometh in the morning, as they say. So take care. See you soon. Be kind. Ciao.
Bye.